Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
When I was in junior high, there was a kid, his name was Scott, and we were friends, or at least I would say we were friends when all of his other friends were busy and couldn't play. Then Scott would get a hold of me and want to be my friend and want to play and want to do something. But when everyone else was around, I was like a third wheel. I didn't belong. I wasn't wanted. I didn't fit in. How many have ever been the third wheel before? I mean, yeah, many of you have. How does that feel? Not very good, does it? No, none of us like to be the third wheel, to kind of feel like we're an outsider, like we don't fit. Yet sometimes, I think that's what many Christians do with the Holy Spirit. We love God the Father. Oh, and we love Jesus, and we love Him, and we pray and praise and sing and worship. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, well, you know what? He's a little weird. He's a little spooky. He's a little scary. And I think many Christians sometimes kind of, they acknowledge He's there, but they really don't include the Holy Spirit in their life, and they keep Him at arm's length, and they treat Him like a third wheel. This morning, on the back of your bulletins, our message is called The Third Wheel. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, and this is a completely different message than what I had planned this morning. It's kind of based loosely upon some of what one of the camp speakers said, and he preached on the third wheel, and I just felt God say, this is what we need to focus on this Sunday. At the top of your notes, there's a statement. It says, the Holy Spirit is not something to be feared, because He's not a something. He is a someone. He is a person. He is a friend. The Holy Spirit is a friend to you. Jesus said, it's important for me to go, that I can send another comforter, another helper. Jesus, He was a friend of the disciples. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to be your friend, just like I was. He is not a bird or a ghost. He is God, the third person of the Trinity. I know so many times we see the Holy Spirit portrayed as a dove, and you know, think of a dove, we think of a beautiful, gentle bird just flitting around, tweet, 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 you know, like that. Friends, the Holy Spirit is not a wimpy dove, okay? The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's not someone to be afraid of. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is 100% God, and He wants to be your friend. Now, He's as much God as the Father is God and as Jesus is God. And yet now there is only one God, not three gods. You say, Craig, how can that be? Let me give you an illustration. Take a look at the screen. I'm going to give you a quiz, and I hope you get the answer right, okay? If not, I'm going to seriously doubt your IQ, okay? Going back to chemistry class, how many of you remember what the chemical makeup of water is? H2O. You are brilliant. Yes, you are good. What's the chemical makeup of ice? H2O. How about of steam? H2O. So all three, their chemical makeup are H2O. That's their nature. That's their essence. They're H2O. Yet they are distinctly different from each other. For example, when you're thirsty, a glass of steam just doesn't cut it, does it? You want a glass of water. And you can walk on ice, but you can't walk on water unless you know where the tree stumps are, huh? You can't walk on steam. You realize that all three of these, the steam is the gas form, water is the liquid form, ice is the solid form. There's three different forms, but they are the same nature, the same compound, you could say. In like manner, that's the Godhead. If we go to the next slide, you have the Father is God, you have the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They are all God. Just as there's only one H2O, there's not multiple H2Os, there is only one God, but there are three persons that are distinctly different from each other in the Godhead. And so there's three persons and one God. When God was revealing himself to the nation of Israel, he declared there's only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Jesus, before he went to heaven, he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go and make disciples, make people who are followers of me, who learn and follow and grow, and then baptize them. And when you baptize them in the name of the Father. Let's go to Matthew 28. Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be baptized. That's why we're having a water baptism service at Natural Bridge here in just a few weeks, in the end of August, for our picnic. It's going to be a great time, but that's something that every person who follows Jesus does as a testimony. When you go down in the water, it symbolizes I'm dying to this life, and when you come up from the water, it symbolizes I'm going to live for God. I want to have a new life for God. And I am publicly testifying to everyone that I have died to myself and I'm going to live for God. You don't need to be baptized to get into heaven. You get baptized after you receive Christ and become a disciple. It's repent and be baptized, not be baptized and it gets you into heaven. Baptism is a sign of turning away from sin into God, and that's what everyone is supposed to do. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to sign up on the sheet at the Information Center, attend our baptism class August 12th, because Jesus wants you to be baptized as a sign of obedience to him. And as he said, as we baptize, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is as much God and as part of the Godhead, but so many times we make the Holy Spirit the third wheel. He's not really welcome. We kind of keep him on the outside, but the Holy Spirit is so important. Do you realize he is mentioned in the second verse of the Bible? It doesn't mention the Father. It doesn't mention the Son, it mentions the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You see, the idea of the Holy Spirit was not a new theology that the disciples created in the New Testament. It wasn't a new idea that came along when Jesus came along. The Holy Spirit has been around since the beginning of time, actually before the beginning of time, with the entire Godhead. And here's the thing, God wants the Holy Spirit to be active in every Christian's life. In your notes this morning, there it says God's plan for the Spirit. There's two aspects of this plan, two things that God wants the Holy Spirit to do in our lives. Number one, is for the Holy Spirit to live in you. God wants the Holy Spirit to live in you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, it says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. When you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, when you confess Christ, when you ask Jesus into your life, do you know what happened? Not only were you forgiven of your sin, but the Holy Spirit came and he lives inside of you. 1 Corinthians talks about you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, a dwelling place. He has come and he's set up residence so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He wants you to love him. He wants you to experience him. He is there to guide you and to comfort you. He's there to teach you, to encourage you, to convict you when you do something wrong, or to even prompt you and to nudge you to do something right. How many have ever been convicted of something wrong or kind of warned by the Holy Spirit? Don't do that. How many have ever felt that voice of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. How many have ever felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit to call someone or to pray for someone or to witness for someone? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit living inside of you. And when you become a Christian, He starts a relationship with you. And He gives you a relationship. And so all of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've confessed your sin, all of us have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so that is the first part of God's plan, that God wants everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of God, and to have His Spirit living inside of him, making him real to every person. That's the first part. But here's the thing. There is a second part of that plan, and that is for the Holy Spirit to empower you. And that is a part that many Christians never experience. They're okay with being saved. They're okay with knowing God. But when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, when it comes to receiving power, it's like, you know what, God? I'm good. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want to experience that. And we kind of set the Holy Spirit off to the side and make him the third wheel and say, that's all you can do in my life. Here's the thing. It was never God's plan for Jesus to stay on planet Earth the entire time. Did you know that? It was never God's plan for that to happen. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. God wants you and I to have the Spirit live in us and to empower us. In Acts chapter 1, and this is our text, you can take a look at it. I'm going to look at verse 5 and verse 8. Jesus was speaking these words 40 days after his resurrection. By the way, it's interesting, but just write down in your notes under point number 1, to live, just write John chapter 20. Verse 1 and 20, okay? John chapter 20, verse 1 and 20. Because what happened, that is the very first night Jesus was raised from the dead. He appeared to his disciples who are locked in away a room. They're afraid for their life. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit living with them. Now in Acts chapter 1, this is 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days later, this is what Jesus says to them in verse 5. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he had given them the Holy Spirit to live in, but now he says, hey, in a few days, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, you shall receive power. Everyone say power. You shall receive power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is power. How many of you want power in your life? I want power. This week at camp, we did the Hunger Games. That was the theme. And we had different districts. There was the mining district and District 1 for luxury. My team, we were the power district, okay? Very, very appropriate. And, you know, everyone had to create a chant, okay, for their team. So pulled out my phone, and we downloaded a song. And you know what our chant was? We got the power! This is our hour. God will shower out his power. We got the power of the Spirit. Can't you hear it? You want to be near it. We got the power. But you know something? That's not just a chant for District 5. That should be a chant for every single Christian. God, I need power. Because here's the thing, Jesus left this planet, and he left his body. Who's his body? We are. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the body. You're the body of Jesus. He left his body to do his work. And Jesus was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. When he came up from the water, when he was baptized, God looked and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit settled upon him. The Holy Spirit baptized Jesus that moment. And he walked in the power of the Spirit. And now Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You need the power. I want to baptize you. I want to pour my Spirit out on you. Because you need to continue the work that I have started. You are my body. You're my hands. You're my feet. You're my eyes. You're my mouth. You're my heart." And we need the power, and Jesus knew that. And so that's what the Holy Spirit baptism is all about. Verse 8, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You know, it's sad, but a lot of Christians, a lot of groups have made the Holy Spirit a circus, something to entertain us, a wild act where you blow on someone and they all fall down, or you start barking like a dog, or you start laughing, or these kind of things. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is not a sideshow act to entertain us and to make us laugh and to make us feel good or to give us goosebumps in a church service. It is about power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about power to make an impact in the lives of others, to be the body of Jesus, and to touch this world. And he said, "I want all of you to receive the power." We need God's power. The word for power in the Greek, the New Testament is written in the Greek language. The word for power is dunamis. Say dunamis. There's two words that we get in the English language from the word dunamis. They're in your notes. The first one is dynamite. How many remember that old TV show? I think it was the Jeffersons, J.J. Walker, dynamite. Dynamite is explosive. And that is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we say power, it's not just a little bit of power, it's explosive power. Just as dynamite blows stuff up, it can remove the rubble, it can remove the debris. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit removes the rubble and the debris from people's lives. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and explode and blow up and destroy the works of the devil in people's lives. It's this power. But there's also a second word that we get from dunamis, and it's a dynamo. A dynamo is a generator. A generator that provides an ongoing source of power that doesn't stop. Even your Energizer Bunny, his batteries work out, but a dynamo keeps going. And friends, the Holy Spirit is explosive, but he's also ongoing. He's more than a stick of dynamite that blows up and it's only there for a second. It's power that is to keep going and going and going and going and help you all throughout life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a one and done. You receive it at an altar and you walk out the door and then you forget about it until the next revival service. No, it is to be an ongoing power source in our lives. In your notes, we sum up, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is a continual, ongoing supply of power that is explosive. It destroys the works of the devil. It's boldness to share about Christ. It's boldness to share about Christ. Once you and I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to share about Jesus. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you've talked to someone about God? When's the last time that you have shared the gospel, told someone what God has done in your life? God wants his church to have power that is ongoing. So many times, we're not living in the power that God has for us. I was at camp, and on the night they talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was asking some kids, because some kids came up, they were praying. I says, how long have you been seeking God for the power? And some, you know, a couple years, 2 years, whatever, 3 years. And then I says, how often do you ask God for it? And you know what the response was? 6 months ago, last youth convention, last youth camp. What do you think would happen if you go to your parents and you asked your parents for something for Christmas, and then 6 months later you ask for something, the same thing, and then a year later you ask for something, and a year later you ask for the same thing? How many think you're going to get that gift by asking, you know, a year or a half year at a time? What's the likelihood? Probably not. I mean, it's not that important. Now, what would happen if you go to your parents every day, I want this for Christmas, I want this for Christmas, I want this for Christmas, I want this for Christmas? I shared that in the back room with our worship team beforehand, and someone says, you'd get in trouble. Yeah, but you know, the parent would probably say, I get it, all right, just shut up, I'll get it for you. I mean, they would give it to you. The likelihood, if you are earnestly asking for it continually, ups the chances of you getting it. And here's the thing. I don't think God wants to give us a gift that we're not going to use. And if we're only asking whenever there's a message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or when an evangelist comes in and talks about it, or when we go to youth camp or go to convention or we hear about it on the radio, if that's the only time we're saying, God, give me the power, if it's not really earnest, what are we going to do with it when we get it? If we hardly think about it now, we'll probably hardly think about it when we receive it. And God wants to know that we're serious about it. He wants us to desire this power. If we have it, to say, God, I need it again today. I need to impact people today. If we don't have it, say, God, give me the power. Give me the power. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit baptism, that doesn't mean you don't have to pray for people and don't have to witness for people. Because there are a lot of people, a lot of ministers even, that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't believe in speaking in tongues and everything that goes with Holy Spirit baptism, but have powerful ministries. Chuck Swindoll, Billy Graham, you can be used of God without having the Holy Spirit baptism. So some people say, well, why in the world do I need it? Chuck Swindoll and Billy Graham don't need it. Let me ask you this. How powerful would they be if they were baptized in the Spirit? We have no idea. We don't know how much more powerful. Here's the thing. When you look at the Bible, Jesus wants us to have power. And the Holy Spirit baptism is a separate experience that takes place from salvation. And God wants you to have power, to share, to destroy the works of the devil in people's lives, to see God explode on the scene where he's not at, to clear out the rubble and the debris and the stench of sin, and to give people wholeness. And he wants his church, you and I, to have the power. Okay, let's keep going. What is the evidence? How do you know you've received something? There is an evidence of it. You know, if I would give you a car, a brand new car, the evidence that you have the car is what? The title and the car itself. You need them both. And so here's the thing. God wants a evidence so you know. You don't have to wonder, well, do I have it or do I don't have it? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so. The evidence of the baptism is speaking in tongues. And tongues is a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit speaks through you. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Just flip the page to Acts 2. Jesus said, you'll receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power, you'll be my witnesses. And then Jesus ascends to heaven, and for 10 days, the disciples and 108 other people, they were praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And on a Jewish holiday, that's called Pentecost, they received it. It's what's interesting is that Pentecost was a feast of harvest when they celebrated bringing in the harvest. And that's what the Holy Spirit baptism is all about, is a harvest of souls, that God brings people into his kingdom. That, and God told us to pray for laborers for the harvest. As we pray and say, God, give me power, he makes us a laborer of the harvest. And that's what took place. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And links the tongues, the physical evidence, with the reception of the power and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The evidence that you have power is speaking in tongues. The word tongues means languages, and they actually spoke in languages they didn't know. When you read verses 8 through 11, it mentions several countries that people were from and that heard their own native language. It lists them. There's about 12 to 15, and it just says, man, we hear them speaking in our own language, our own tongue. They weren't speaking gibberish. It wasn't boo 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 ba 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 ga ga goo goo. It was an actual language. And this is what happens. The Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you as a Christian, he prays through you to God. He worships God through you. He intercedes to God through you. He praises and prays prayers of supplication for your needs. When I pray in tongues, there's times I like to turn on worship music and I'll sing in the Spirit. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I sing in the spirits, I sing in the understanding. In other words, the Holy Spirit sings through me in tongues. I don't know what I'm saying, but then there's other times I'm singing the words that I know. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit, and I pray with understanding. There's times when there's a need in my life or my family's life, and I'll be praying for that. Or maybe I know of a missionary or someone who's going through a very difficult time. I'll pray in the Spirit for that. If we're going to camp, I prayed in the Spirit. I let the Holy Spirit pray for me for what was going to take place at camp. I pray in the Spirit for our Sunday morning service. You see, tongues is a prayer language that God gives you. And you can use it as part of your life. And as we pray in the Spirit, as we pray in tongues, it strengthens us and builds us up. Jude 1:21, it says, as you pray in the Spirit, it edifies you. It builds you up. How many like to work out? A few of you do. How many like the results of a workout? Yeah. I like the results of a workout. I don't necessarily like working out, but I like the results of it. Friends, when you pray in tongues, that is a spiritual workout, and it builds you up, and it makes you stronger and more powerful. I don't know how the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit works, but I know Jesus said, you need it. It's the American Express card of the church. He said, don't leave home without it. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't start this commission, this great commission of going into all the world and making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit until you have the power. We need to be seeking the power, and the bonus of the power is the evidence of a prayer language that builds you up. There are times when I have prayed for something in my English language, and I get done, and my heart is still heavy, and I don't know how to pray anymore. That's when I just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you take over, and I let him begin to pray. There are times when maybe something has happened, and I'm so upset or just so broken, and I got no words. I don't know how to pray. I let the Holy Spirit pray through me. And after a while of letting him pray for me and he builds me up, I'm at a place where, okay, God, I can now talk to you and I can unburden my soul and I can do that. That is the joy. That is the bonus of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get this prayer language. The Spirit prays through you. That is the evidence. Let's go on to the next thing. The prerequisite of Spirit baptism. What do you need to do? How do you receive this? What are the qualifications? There's just one qualification. You must be saved. You must be saved. If you've asked Christ in your life, you've confessed your sin, then you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all, say all, who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You know who the far off ones are? Us. Far off, 2,000 years later, after this got going, that's us. Look at your neighbor and say, you're far out, dude. We're the far off ones, the far out ones. And he says, this promise of the Holy Spirit is to you. If you repent and turn from your sins, if you're saved, then you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we wrap things up, I want to just touch on what are the obstacles to receiving, because there are things in our lives that can hinder us from receiving the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And I've got these listed in your notes that we can kind of go quickly. You don't have to write them down. So just listen. The first one is unconfessed sin or living a double life. Unconfessed sin or living a double life. When I was at camp, there was a young man I was talking to at the altar. And he said he just felt like he didn't experience God. He didn't sense the presence of God. And so we're praying and talking about that. And I felt led to ask him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, yeah, I've been seeking it. And as we talked about it and stuff, he began to pray. And then he says, you know, I just don't feel it's for me. And I says, why is that? And he said, because the life I'm living at church doesn't match the life I'm living with my friends. You see, here's the thing. It's power to what? To witness. And if our life is not a lifestyle of witness, if we're engaging in sin, if we're being hypocritical, if we're not living a witness, then that is a hindrance to receiving power to witness. So if you're living a double life, you look one way in church and people think, man, they're really spiritual. He's got his act together. But you go out and there's secret sin in your life and there's things that you're holding on to. I'm not saying that you mess up and you confess and you get right with God and you have struggles. I'm saying you know there's sin and you've resisted in your heart and you've said, no, God, I'm not going to change. A heart that says, I'm not going to change, that holds on to sin, that is a hindrance to receiving the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a first name. Did you know that? What's his first name? Holy, that's right. The Holy Spirit's first name is holy. And if I'm not going to live a holy life, then I am impeding receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. There is another thing that blocks and hinders the Holy Spirit, and that is fear. When I pastored in Iowa, my secretary, she shared with me her difficulty in receiving Holy Spirit baptism. See, she grew up in a home, her dad was a Baptist pastor, and he preached that tongues and the Holy Spirit baptism was of the devil. And so, as she read the Bible, she knew that Holy Spirit baptism was real. She'd seen it in others, but even though she knew it was real and that it was for her, she was afraid of it because of what she'd been taught. And she said, Craig, I had to overcome my fear. I had to overcome this fear that it was wrong, that it was of the devil. And God had to take that away. And I prayed and asked God. And when the fear was gone, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I also know some people, they're afraid of looking foolish. Oh man, if I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't know what he's going to make me. You know, maybe I'll get on the floor and I'll start rolling down the aisle, you know, be a holy roller. Or maybe I'll start shaking and doing all that. I don't want to look like a fool, man. So, Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to roll or shake or that kind of thing. You know, shake, rattle, and roll, all that good stuff. I like that in music, but not in my own life. But here's the thing. Do you know how much more foolish it is when you share the gospel with someone and they slam it in your face? People make fun of you. They think you're foolish for sharing the gospel. And if you're afraid of looking like a fool at all for God, then that can keep you from receiving the power, because there are times when you step out and you obey God and you share with someone and they're going to lash out at you. They're going to make fun of you, or you pray for someone and it doesn't happen. You will feel foolish when you try to be a witness. But there's also going to be times when you see the Holy Spirit explode in a person's life and the works of the devil are destroyed and they repent and they give their life to God and God delivers them from alcohol. God delivers them from drugs. God delivers them from tobacco. God delivers them from pornography. God sets them free. God washes them. God does a work in their life. And the joy of seeing that is worth looking foolish. God never asked you to convert someone. He just asked you to be faithful and to witness and share, and you leave the results up to Him. So we need to be willing to let go of our fear of looking foolish or fear that it could be something bad for us. If you ask for bread, He won't give you a stone. If you ask for fish, He won't give you a serpent. And the next part of that verse, Jesus said, and how much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a good thing. Don't let fear rob you from the power of God. The last obstacle to receiving is doubt. It's doubt. I know some people who have gone up many times in a service, maybe similar like this, or an evangelist revival setting, a camp, convention, whatever, and they've prayed and they said, God, I want the Holy Spirit baptism. And they don't receive it. And they walk away feeling like, man, what's wrong with me? Maybe I'm not supposed to have it. It's for everybody else, but maybe God doesn't want to give it to me. And there's this doubt. And I've even talked to people who've come forward. And as I talk to them, it's like, yeah, I think maybe it's not for me. They want it, but they doubt it. Friends, you need to ask God to take away your doubt and to give you the faith and the confidence that this gift of the Holy Spirit is to you, your children, and to all who are afar off. It's to every. Don't you think Jesus wants every part of His body to have power? Yeah, every part. Every one of us. Every member of the body to have the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have it. The last point in your notes, what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit? It means to be immersed. The word baptism means immersion. That's why when we baptize you in water, we don't sprinkle you. We don't pour a little bit of water on you. No, we dunk you. You go down. We just don't hold you there, okay? You come back up again, all right? I haven't lost anyone yet in a baptism. One person almost floated away down the stream in natural. I probably shouldn't say that. It might scare some of you. But it's an immersion, a complete saturation in the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. And this is really, this is for those of us who have it. I've seen so many times, and I've been guilty of this myself, where I get filled with the Spirit. But then I walk out of church and I get caught up in so many of the things, and I'm not thinking about being a witness. I'm not thinking about, God, how can you use me today? God wants us to keep this immersion is a saturation that doesn't stop. It's a continual filling. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 18, reading from the complete Jewish Bible, don't get drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled. Be filled today. Be filled Monday. Be filled Tuesday. Be filled Wednesday. Keep on being filled. Don't let that filling stop. Keep asking God for power, because you need power to be the body of Jesus every day. Keep on being filled. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians. They receive the baptism, and then they stop asking God for a continual filling. And you know what they look like? They look like this picture up here. They've lost a third wheel. And they're ineffective. They don't see much movement of the Spirit of God in their life. And they don't know why. Because God wants us to seek the power, to seek the filling, and to keep on being filled. It's not just something that I got at youth camp. Oh, I can talk in tongues now. Great. No, it's about power. We got the power. This is our hour for God to shower out his power on all flesh.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.